Welcome to Stroud's In Business. I'm Terry Meekham. This is the program that goes behind the doors and speaks to the managing directors and the managers and the shop floor workers and the developers and the engineers and all workers who make Stroud and the Five Valleys such a powerhouse of industry.
I've come to Tetbury Rock and Horse Works at Rooksmoor Mills, where I'm speaking to Stephen Bulcock, who is the owner. What made you go for rock and horses as a career?
25 years ago, a friend of mine had his first child. I'm thinking of buying her a rocking horse. And yeah. I said, well, okay, save your money. I'll make you a rocking horse. And I made a rocking horse for him. Book out of the library, how to make rocking horses. Made the first rocking horse. Approximately 2 years later, I was unemployed. This guy was boss of McLaren and Fisher-Price. And I thought, I'll make rocking horses. He'll buy them and I'll get rich. But he never bought a single rocking horse off me. But his wife did, and she turned her house into a sales room, and she bought rocking horses off me 10 at a time, and that's how the business got started.
This was up in Shropshire?
No, that was actually in Birmingham.
Why the relocation down this way then?
Change of scenery. It's pretty down here.
Where's the majority of the customers come from for yourself? How do they find you, and what are they looking for?
Well, traditionally in the old days, it was advertising in the back of glossy magazines. But these days it's all changed, it's all moved on to the internet, and that's where the majority of our customers come from. The internet goes all around the world, but even so, the majority of the customers that we get from the internet will be within a 50-mile radius of Stroud.
Will they? So they're pretty local then, really, the customers?
Yeah, lots of people are local. Just now we had a telephone inquiry from Cardiff. That's quite typical.
Was that for a new or for restoration?
That was a restoration. Lots of the business, 50% of the business is restoring old rocking horses.
I heard you say, I think, in that conversation, that you felt that the rocking horse had been made by a company in Liverpool over a century ago. I mean, is that the history of rocking horse manufacturing in this country? Was there a fairly substantial industry at one stage?
That was the heyday of the rocking horses in the Victorian period.
That was the must-have Christmas present, I presume, in those days.
Well, I mean, the rocking horses, I mean, today they're looked at a little bit like children's toys, but in those days there were no motor cars. Everybody travelled by horse. Everyone that was rich, anyway, travelled by horse. Of course, the rest of us walked, but they travelled on horseback, and their children had to learn to ride a horse. So the rocking horse was an equestrian training device that the rich bought for the nursery, and the child started practicing riding skills on a rocking horse and before they were allowed onto a real horse.
Well, that's interesting. What are the elements of putting a rocking horse together? What are the component parts? Is it a block of wood which you've got to get into shape, and then you've got hair and you've got bits of leather and things like that? What are the raw materials you have to work with?
Well, all of those things that you've just mentioned, we start off with a plank of wood that comes, it's specially selected timber that comes all the way from Quebec, and that's traditional timber too. That's what the Victorians imported too. It all came from Quebec, arrived at Liverpool, and it still does.
Is that off a special type of tree?
Yes, a special tree. It's the yellow pine, Quebec yellow pine. That's one of the trees involved, because we use lots of different timbers, but that's the principal timber. Leather, that all comes locally from the famous leather saddle-making district of Walsall in the West Midlands. Metalwork, lots of the fancy bits of metalwork that go onto rocking horses still comes out of Birmingham, where all the metal bashing skills haven't been killed yet. Some of them have survived and they carry on. And so we source lots of our materials still from the West Midlands.
And the hair for the tails and this and the
hair,
manes?
Hair, it is real horse hair we use, and it does come off a real horse at some point. Horses, unfortunately, do have to be destroyed, illness, and we buy our tails from those people.
Processing of the horse hair is done in China as well.
Yeah, some of it is. Yeah. Some of the hair is sent out. Some of the tails, raw tails from horses, are sent out refrigerated. Sent out to China, and they traditionally, because labour was cheap, processed it and then returned it back to England, all neat, clean, washed and bundled up, ready to use on our rocking horses.
And I think you also said they use that same sort of hair for violin bows.
That's right, very long lengths, very exclusive, hard to get, very expensive hair for violin makers.
You're in a business which has got a fairly long history, 150 years at least, I would think, perhaps.
At least, yeah.
Yes. Mm. Are there many other rock and horse manufacturers in the country now?
In terms of this size of business, there's probably no more than about five of us.
So the Tetbury Rock and Horse Works, what does it offer its customers? It's obviously handmade, high quality, the top end of the market, because it's bespoke, I presume. Do they come to you with a design, or are they all the same shape, these designs? Or do they actually say, look, I've got one which my granny used to have, or something like that?
Yeah, generally they're made to a pattern, and people buy from that pattern of traditional Victorian rocking horse. But occasionally, like last year, for instance, we had a customer from Sydney in Australia come to us, and she said, look, I'd like a special rocking horse making for me. We wanted to have silver bits. That was totally bespoke. She insisted on a particular type of leather. She was a shoe designer. She worked with leather. She sourced her leather in Italy. She sent her leather from Italy to us to put onto the rocking horse.
You're in the top echelon of craftsmen, really. Mm. People, you can supply, we say, the bog standard rocking horse, but you can also supply very, very bespoke rocking horses. What's the breakdown between restoration and new sales?
It's a mixture. It's 50% of each. Part of the skills of the rocking horse restorer that recognising what's original and what's not original. Lots of customers bring a rocking horse to us and they say, oh, this is our old rocking horse. It's been like this ever since we've known it. We'd like to keep it original, but they're sometimes not original and they're completely changed and they've been restored maybe two or three times in their lifetime. They assume it's original, so we have to enlighten them and say, well, you can have it restored exactly how it is, but it's not how they were. This is how it would have looked, and it's a choice that the customer can then make whether they want it taken back to its original form or just carrying on how it looked like when they were a child.
And who does the artwork on the horses, the painting and the varnishing and the dipples?
Well, we bring in different people. We've got Rachel, who's come to work for us for a little bit, and she's a first-class painter, and she does lovely work for us.
The horses you make, are they always the people's designs, or do they just say sometimes, I'll leave it entirely up to you?
The rocking horse is a traditional Victorian art form, and the majority of people want that art form simply as it is, as it was, and we reproduce it. Occasionally customers will say, well, I'd like one. We did have a real horse once, for instance, and the horse was put down some years ago. But here's a photograph. Can you try and reproduce our rocking horse on our rocking horse? And we can do that.
How long does it take to complete a rocking horse from the time the block of wood, the yellow pine from Canada, comes through the back door and the rocking horse goes? What's the length of time involved? Say you had to concentrate on making one only. I know you've got a number at a time, but how lengthy a process is it?
Depending on the horse, little ones are quicker to make than big ones. But as a rule, we say to customers, from the receipt of an order, 28 days.
Is it roughly shaped on a machine then, and then hand-finished? How does the process work?
No, it's completely hand-done. Wood comes into the rocking horse works as a straight plank of wood, and they're all cut off to different lengths, glued together. Some of them are shaped in terms of a profile, like round the head, so it looks like the profile of a head, and then that gets glued onto the horse. It becomes a full-size rocking horse, glued up out of probably about 30 different pieces of wood, and then we start to carve it, and it's all done by hand.
And the carving, is that done by yourself?
It's done by myself, yeah. I do all the carving from start to finish.
How many orders have you got on the go at any one time, normally?
Between 15 and 20.
And this time of year, particularly busy, I suppose, being Christmas time?
Supposed to be particularly busy. For 25 years, I've been particularly busy at Christmas, but this is the quietest Christmas I've ever known.
Is it? Put that down to what, recession?
Not sure.
Like money?
I can only think it's the recession, yeah.
Because nothing else has changed. Your website's still the same. Your skills are still the same. Mm. It's the customers knocking on the door. Mm. Do you do export work as well as sell some stuff overseas?
Yeah, lots of horses go all around the world.
What's the toughest part of doing the business, do you think? Is it the hours that's involved? Is it looking for the customers? Is it making the product? I should imagine making the product was pretty much something which is almost built into your psyche by now, pretty easy to do perhaps, but looking for the customers, is that the hardest part of the business? What do you think is the challenge? Isn't there one?
There is a challenge. Every aspect of the job is a challenge.
Yes.
Which is why I think rocking horse making for me is sort of almost addictive. It's in my blood, you know. I couldn't do anything else now. It's every aspect of the job is difficult and a challenge, from finding the customers to making the rocking horse to delivering it to the customer. And delivering it to the customers can be a challenge too sometimes, despite sat-nav and mobile telephones. But it's all a challenge all the way through.
For the future generations, they might want restoration done. I'm assuming you've got their own numbered, are they? They've all got a model number on and your own brass plate or something?
Yeah, every horse is registered, got its own private registration number, and that gets fixed onto a brass plate, and that goes with the horse. And onto that brass plate, customers often, they always do have their own little private personal message engraved on that plate too.
Did you say you made unicorns as well? Or was that a one-off that you pointed out in the...
No, unicorns are very popular.
Are they?
I can't remember when I made the first unicorn years ago. It was probably when when the internet was invented. Yeah. And we put a rocking unicorn on there and someone bought one. And they've been popular ever since.
So it's just not a rocking. It's just not a rocking horse works. It's a rocking horse stroke unicorn works as well.
Yeah, they're very popular. I mean, I think if people actually type into Google, rocking unicorn, we come up position. Well, definitely page one, along with rocking zebras too. Now, rocking zebras were very popular at one time.
See, the more the interview goes on, the more it's coming out of what else you make. Yeah. Rocking zebras, rocking unicorns, rocking horses.
Yeah. Yeah, all sorts of creatures, but I think that's where we draw the line, really. Oh, apart from the Pegasus.
Yeah, there's another one that's coming out.
Yeah, that's not on the internet, though, but we do a rocking Pegasus, which is an amazing creature.
Is that for... is that because people are asking for them, or is it just something you made and then think, well, I wonder if people would come and buy
right.
that?
I did, actually. I made the first one. I thought, pop stars. They're going to be the Bobby Davros, you know. They're going to buy a rocking unit, a rocking Pegasus, maybe. Bobby Davros did have a horse, but it wasn't a Pegasus.
More ornamental.
Yeah, it's more a work of art, really, that someone wants to have on display in some grand apartment in Sydney.
So if people want to get hold of you, so what's the best mechanism of them actually contacting you?
Well, I mean, people listening to this interview, we can say to them, you simply type in rocking horses, Gloucestershire, or Stroud, and we will come up number one on Google all around the world.
Well, thanks for that overview and insight into a very interesting art still being kept down here. What would be your choice of music for the programme, Stephen?
Bridget St. John.
If you don't mind, and come with me, there where the sun flies, there where the sky is bluer still, is where we'll be. Nothing with you, I'll give you everything I can. Have no fear, for if you stumble or should you fall down on the way, I'll be there. Close your secret. make me a promise that you will.